Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And if anyone here is listening tonight and they heard the gospel of their salvation, and that is Jesus Christ and the finished work at Calvary's cross, if they put their faith in that, they have eternal life. And if they trust that, they have been sealed until the day of redemption. If they just take God at his word tonight and believe what he says when he said it's finished, for those who are listening right now, we pray that there's a desire to get into God's word and to study his word and to trust his word and walk in it. And Paul told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, tonight, let's get right into our lesson here with the Apostle Paul. And like I said, we'll continue on with this lesson. Apostle Paul takes us into the depths of the reprobate, depraved mind. I want you to know that God is a gracious God, pouring undeserved mercy on all of humanity. He's long-suffering. As long as the Holy Spirit opens a person's heart to the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, that person is confronted with a free will choice to either accept or to reject God's salvation. People do not go to hell because of their religious affiliations. They go to hell because they are lost and dead in their trespasses and sins. They have rejected the gospel of the grace of God. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. In other words, our sin nature causes us to sin. Us sinning does not create our sin nature. Gay people go to hell because they are sons of Adam, not because they are gay. A drunkard goes to hell because he's lost, faithless in God's word, not because he drinks alcohol. Rich people do not go to hell because they are wealthy. They go to hell because they oftentimes have faith in their fortunes instead of God's word and trusting and putting their faith in the gospel of the grace of God. Smoking cigarettes, getting drunk, and committing adultery does not lead to hell. Just being a sinner leads to hell. My brothers and sisters, for the Bible says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are all humans, descendants of Adam, disobedient to God's word and headed for a devil's hell if we do not believe what God's word says to us regarding salvation. Presenting the gospel of the grace of God to a lost soul is so important. That's why Paul penned down 1 Timothy 2:4. But 3 and 4, for this is a good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. Apostle Paul, here in Romans 1, as we continue on with our lesson, 29 through 31, he states, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, unmerciful, implacable, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. These are antisocial practices which together describe the breakdown of human community and relationships. Paul starts out saying, being filled, followed by four nouns. Look at verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Now, what unites those words? They are all general words for evil. Look at our society today. There is not a specific word among them. They are general words. And notice, he introduced it with being filled. being filled with this makes it clear that sinners, children of disobedience, they don't pursue sin half-heartedly. It's not that these are rare. Instead, these sins permeate their hearts and lives. Let's discern the difference. The word all means unrighteousness at every level. This first designation is like the topic sentence in a paragraph that describes all that follows. The word unrighteousness means violating the law, a departure from a standard. This word was used earlier for the wrath of God as revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, Romans 1:18. Ungodliness is the internal attitude. Unrighteousness is the external action. Ungodliness is any irreverence towards God, where unrighteousness is any lawless behavior before him. They hold down the truth about God that's revealed in creation. They suppress that knowledge. Verse 21 says they knew God. That is, they knew certain things about God. Verse 20, his invisible attributes, such as his internal power, his existence, his divine nature, but they suppress that. They are willfully ignorant of God's person. That's why God is angry. Unrighteousness, we met this word back in verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. The word simply means a lack of conformity to the law of God in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. We don't conform to God's command, to his word, to his law. Paul says, being filled with fornication. We can see direct reference to all types of sin, but especially homosexuality, Romans 1, verses 24 through 27, and then in fornication, verse 29. And notice verse 32, they which commit such things, all the sins listed in verses 25 through 31 are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but they have pleasures in them that do them, even in the dispensation of grace. God's attitude towards sexual sin has not changed. God still hates fornication, adultery, homosexuality, premarital sex, and so on. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, Paul writes that some of the believers in Corinth were once fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. And effeminate means men who behave like women. Abusers of themselves with mankind, and such were some of you. Paul says the Corinthians were different people now that they were saved. Notice again, fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Effeminate, men dressing and behaving like women. How often do we see that in society and in the world? Some people think it's funny when they see men acting and dressing like women. God is not laughing when men parade around dressed and behaving like women. And then you have children seeing it, and they grow up thinking that there's nothing wrong with it. This all comes from Satan. The gospel is so important in teaching our children the word of God. So the characters on television and in plays and in theaters that have men dressing and acting like women, it's not of God. It's a sin, my friend. It's sin. Then Paul said, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Evidently, these are still sins, even in the dispensation of grace. In Galatians 5:19, the Bible speaks of the works of the flesh, of the works of our sin nature, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. These are all sexual sins. Notice the Bible still calls them evil. Even though we are in the dispensation of grace and not under Mosaic law, the Bible speaks of them that defile themselves with mankind, because it is still sin, no matter what dispensation. 1 Timothy 1:9-10. Young people, you ought to read this. 1 Timothy 1:9-10. But let me say this. What Paul is saying here, when he talks to us, my brothers and sisters, Paul encouraging, he says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, profane, for murders of fathers, murders of mothers, for man's death, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Young people who remain sexually pure, virgins, before marriage are often ridiculed. Someone who has not had premarital sex is called a whip. But it would be in our best interest if we believe the wisdom of God's word. We can never go wrong when we let God's word be the final authority instead of the world's standards of right and wrong. Some would say, well, how can you tell me not to have sex when you had sex before you were married? We must be real and honest when sharing God's word and let it be known that even though we sinned before we got married, it doesn't take away our responsibility as ambassadors for Christ to share God's word about fornication and any other sins. We must still let it be known that God is grieved when we go out and commit sexual sins. God designed sexual intercourse to function solely within the marriage relationship between a man and his wife. This is why God instructs us to not engage in sexual relations outside of the marriage relationship. God made sex, and he made it very good. As long as sexual intercourse is practiced between a man and his wife, sexual intercourse is not a sin, and it honors God. We live in a sexually immoral society. The world would tell us that everyone else is doing it, so it must be okay. Turn on your TV and you can get quite an eyeful of sexual sins being paraded. Even the internet and libraries all around the world have pornographic images and sexually explicit literature. For the sake of money, these items are sold and countless souls are trapped in a lifestyle of sexual sin. The gospel of the grace of God is needed, my brothers and sisters. Sexual intercourse honors God, like I said. The sad part about all of this is that so many saints are caught up in the grip of sexual sins. Sadly, sex sales and sexual sins are very popular for the sake of generating money. There is a great hope for all humans that is found only in the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died for all, where he died, my brothers and sisters, for all the sins of the world. World meaning for all humanity. Notice also, there is no sin that cannot be forgiven. Thanks to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, whereby he paid for the sins of the whole world, all mankind. Now Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, the heart of a man, it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who among men can know it? The fact is, we do not really know our heart, but God knows the hidden secrets of our hearts. The evil thoughts in our self-seeking sin nature deny this is not the answer for our sin. Jesus of Nazareth spoke of the corrupt hearts of all men. Matthew 15:19, he said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witnesses, blasphemy. Paul addresses wickedness. Wickedness is a state or condition of lacking moral values. Wickedness, evil plots and purposes. This describes the scheming by evil men to commit their deeds of wickedness. They do not wait for sin to come to them. You know what? When you talk about the LGBTQ community and the pride parades, you know what? That ain't nothing when you see folks marching talking about pride parades. That ain't nothing but a march for wickedness in the streets or whatever city they want to march in. They initiate plots to commit sin. Covetous, greed, we understand that word. It is a settled disposition that is driven to have more. What Paul is talking about, look at society. Greed is an evil desire for more. They have a total lack of commitment with what they have in life. That's what we see. No matter where they are in society, they are restless to grab for more of this world. Feeding this craving for more is envy. They must always have more. It is the reckless selfishness that pursues one's own desire regardless of how it would affect others. In regards to what he has, the greedy person is never satisfied. He must have still have more. The last word in this group is the word maliciousness, evil. And the word evil simply means mean-spirited. It refers to an internal vicious disposition that actually finds pleasure in hurting others. Mean-spirited. Paul says unbelieving sinners are filled with these general expressions of evil. And guess what? Saints can be this way also if you choose to walk in the flesh. And you turn your ears away from the word of truth. You find yourself conducting yourself just like this. Yes, they can. Can Christians be malicious? Yes, they can. If they choose to be transformed by the renewal. Now, yes, they can. But if they choose to be transformed by the renewal of their mind, they won't be acting and conducting themselves like this. They harm others in order to get what they want. They run over people to work their way up the ladder. They step on people in order to fulfill their greed. These sins are like links in one chain, each interconnected with the other, each being pulled forward by the previous sin. And the second part of this sin, of this list starts with full of. What Paul said, meaning that their sins is full of overflowing, like pouring water into a cup until it's overflowing. Their depraved hearts cannot contain the rising evil that fills it. The first evil that fills the heart is envy, which means jealousy and wishing ill will. It is designed that others not have what good they do have. Instead, they want what others have. Envy is a displeasure, even the anger that comes from seeing someone else. Have what you want, and at least having someone else have what you don't want them to have. If you can have it, you don't want them to have it. If you can't have it, if you can have it, you don't want them to have it. That's envy. And here's we're reminding the fact that sinners have a hard time getting along with one another. And that can happen also in the body of Christ. It is desire to injure others in order to obtain what they have. This does not describe merely one person, but a whole society of people are filled with envy. This picture the mass chaos of society where the masses are jealous of what others have. That's the society we live in. We see this with gangs and all the violence we see in the world. We see this from those who choose not to work in life and is jealous of those who work and is enjoying the fruit of their labor. Evildoers are not just one happy band of brothers and sisters. You will see these type of sins among Christians as more and more turn their ears away from the truth. We see envy and evil in the body of Christ, in gatherings and in the workplace all the time. If you work in a secular workplace, if you go to a secular school, if you're thrown with unbelievers or Christians who are walking in the flesh, you understand this. They're not just one happy band of brothers and sisters. There's a divisiveness about evil which sets people apart from one another. And I might add, against one another. Evil. Envy. You've seen that, right? Someone gets acknowledged for doing a great job in the work of the ministry and is recognized by the pastor. Someone gets jealous and has envy because the person was acknowledged. Someone takes the time to study and study God's word, God's way, and you spend most of your time engaged, and other people spend most of their time engaged in worldly TV watching and worldly activity. People are jealous and envy and may call you and think they know it all. They might call you that when all you have done is what God told us to do, and that is to study. Someone worked hard all their life and did it God's way, and now is reaping the benefits of doing things God's way. Someone was jealous and have envy. Someone managed their money and is a good steward of their money while you threw all yours away in ungodly activities and continue to do so. Some would have envy and jealousy. I mean, somebody walks up and congratulates someone at the office for a promotion. The one who was congratulated leaves. And the person suddenly turns and say, you know, there were a dozen people in this office who should have gotten that promotion other than him or her. Me being one of them. Envy. It creates divisiveness in relationships. This will get worse as we go through the last days in the dispensation of grace. Satan used all of these sins and the problems that they create to keep the gospel, the grace of God, hidden from the lost. Because we're too busy fighting with one another. Too busy being envious of one another. The next evil is murder. which represent persons who are willing to kill in order to steal from others. This person is willing to take the life of someone else who prevents them from having what they want. Now notice the sin of murder is connected here with envy. Why? They don't seem to connect. They connect amazingly well because murder is often a direct result of envy. Go back to the very first murder. Why did Cain murder his brother Abel? Because he was envious of the response his sacrifice got from God. What about Joseph's brothers? They didn't kill him, but they talked about it. They had murderous thoughts and what was driving it. They were envious of him because he was the favorite son. You come to the Gospel of John, and it tells us that the very person, the religious leaders of Israel delivered Jesus over, the Roman authorities and Pilate knew it, was because of envy. Envy often lies behind murder. Many times when you pick up your paper and you read about a murder somewhere in your city or town, understand often it's driven by the sin of envy. Gang fights and drive-bys over territory. Envy and jealous of what other gang members or whoever may have. This is followed by the sin of debate or strife, what Paul says, which means contention, quarreling, arguing, bickering. Such a person would fight anyone to achieve what they want. They are people, there are people, and there are homes that are constantly filled with arguments and fighting and conflict. My friends, do we realize that if we don't walk in God's word and do things God's way and think like God and labor with God and what he's doing, we will find ourselves committing these same sins. And sad to say, many saints are committing them because they have chosen to do things their way or decide to turn their ears away from the truth and continue to listen and follow those who have no knowledge of the word of God. This spirit of strife is followed by deceit, which means trickery. Satan is the god of this world. He's a deceiver. He tricks you. He deceives you. These individuals that are used by him are willing to lie to whoever they can to acquire what they want. This is a very interesting word in its background. We see all the corruption and crookedness in the world. The world comes from the word for bait in fishing. This word, you see, they came to mean any means that you use to catch or deceive someone, just as you see the fish into biting the hook. Ultimately, then, it was used to refer to the deceit, used to mislead someone for your own advantage. It's defined as taking advantage of others through underhanded methods. Oh, my goodness, is our world filled with this? And even sadder when believers are involved in this type of sin. Sinners are quick to lie and deceive for their own advantage. The last sin in this section is malice, which speaks of the malignant hatred and that is forming up inside of them. Look at society. People are just mean and angry and just don't care if they go out and hurt someone. Malice refers to a basic character defect that leads someone to be hurtful to others. It is hating and despising others. What about us saints? You don't think we hate it? Yes, we are. Because we are ambassadors for Christ. Satan is the god of his world, and the children of disobedience, they hate God's children. They hate our Lord and Savior. It is hating and despising others so that you intentionally sin against them in order to spite, in order to hurt them. Now just look at those nine sins. We've already looked at those sins. Ravage and destroy relationships. And then the third section, Paul begins. He says, with a list of 12 sins, with two sins of speech and with people try to destroy the reputation of others. Notice in verse 29, gossip. The word is literally whispers. This refers to those who spread rumors. They spread hurtful rumors and information about others, but they do so in private and low whispers. Did you hear about that? They don't really want to get caught in this. They just want to advance their own cause at another person's expense, and so they do it in low whispers in private. Come here, I got something to tell you. That is, they are literary whispers. They secretly murmur in hushed tones behind the backs of others. There is a pervasive plotting and sinister contriving behind the scenes for evil purposes. Nothing is out in the open, but the private lurks unseen. They are backbiters, slanders. which are those who defame others, backbiters, slanders in verse 30. On the other hand, these are those who speak evils of others, not secretly, but openly in full view. They are more than happy for you to know what they think of you. Some folks just flat out tell you, I don't like you. I ain't never liked you. I never cared for you. They slander you at every opportunity. And you know it's happening. The point is, you walk in a room and you wonder why folks looking at y'all strange, because folks been slandering your name. Yes. Whether secretly or openly, unbelievers are compelled by their selfish nature to speak against others, and believers shouldn't be engaged in this type of evil. The root of this evil is found in the next descriptor. Now, next in this list of the 12 sins, Paul moved from sin of speech to 6 sins related to pride. They are haters of God. These who have rejected God do so because they hate him. The sin is number 12 in this list of 21 evils. Standing in the middle position, the heart of their problem is the problem of their heart. Notice the first haters of God. This is the most egregious expression of pride. It is openly and willingly and defy and reject your creator who has made himself known everywhere in his creation. Nothing is a greater demonstration of human pride than to know you have a creator and to turn hatred against him. Let me add how so many of the proud think they have it all under control, but they are totally blind. Blindness. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto the way by whereby Satan, the God of this world, blinds the minds of the unsaved, is used and works religion. Paul, as a lost person, wants to use religion to deceive people. He said in verse 2, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor having the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious of God. The Bible, specifically the law, can and is being used to send people to eternal destruction. Million upon millions of people sit in church pews around the world today hearing Bible verses, read scripture, and still die and go to a devil's hell. Why? They did not place their trust entirely in Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary. They heard a works and performance-based message of some kind. They thus bragged about how good they are relative to other people, how often they attended services, how much money they gave, how frequent they prayed and confessed sin, how much they loved their neighbor. To them, whatever they did seems to be equal to Jesus Christ's work at Calvary, and this is certainly as blind can be. Until one recognized their lost state, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, they cannot and will not be saved. So many are too proud and arrogant to accept the word of truth rightly divided. Now that really speaks of the expression of pride. Pride is the chief sin that prevents people from coming to faith in Jesus Christ. As they personally say, religious works often cloud their understanding. They have rejected God's word so many times that it's becoming more difficult receiving and teaching each time around. Great attachments to this world. It's a barrier. Few lost people, or frankly even Christians, ever overcome. Such wordless and thought and deed has their full and undivided attention and energy. Distracted by the temporary glitter and gold of this passing world, these lost people miss the eternal riches in Christ. Of course they do not see these truths now, but 1 second after death, when it's too late, they realize the deception and doom. In Romans 1 here, Paul is saying that these same people are despiteful or proud, which describes those who are lifted up with pride. It portrays a verbal attacker heaping insults on others. This is a prideful person who degrades them with insults. Also included among these are proud or arrogant. This refers to those who raise yourself above others. Such an egotistical person possesses an overwhelming sense of self-importance. The proud or the arrogant focus on the thoughts of superiority. The arrogant person may come across as the most humble person in the world. They may never act it out But in their minds, the arrogant person truly believes that no one is his or her equal. He looks around or she and surveys the landscape and says the rest of the people are ignorant. That's what they think. I'm smart. I know what's going on. I wish they'd just get out of my way and let me do what I need to do. They have contempt for everyone except themselves. Arrogance is the opposite of humility, but it stays and can stay inside in the heart. Again, there are people who come across as the most timid, shy, humble people, and they are filled with arrogance. Boastful folks are on the world's words of the proud person. This too has an interesting background. The word came to speak of claiming to have done things that you never did. But this word can also refer to those who constantly brag about their genuine accomplishments. So then a boastful person, one who tries to impress others in one or two ways. Sometimes folks, Christians, boast about what they're doing in the work of the ministry, how much they done did and how much they done gave and all this and that. Sometimes we find ourselves boasting, either by constantly rehearsing their real accomplishment, and you've been around people like that. There have been a few moments, and you know who they are. That's important. And what they've done, that's important, and why they're important. And second, they try to impress others by making big claims about things that they have, in fact, never done. Boastful. When it seems that they cannot get in the darker, this society sinks yet lower. They are described as being inventors of evil. That's where we're going to stop it, because we're going to get right into that next week. They describe as being inventors of evil. This is to say they concoct new forms of wickedness that earlier would have been totally unimaginable. That sounds familiar, don't it? We're going to get into that. Because what did God say? Genesis 6, 5 and 6, 5 through 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And we're going to get into that next week. Let us pray. Father, help, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who listen in. We pray that they were encouraged and that they were enlightened, and that they were edified in your word of truth, Father, divided tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.